We want to thank you for the time we have had in your presence today. We want to bless you because every time we come into your presence, you bless us. You turn around our situations and you give us victory. Lord, today, even as we come under the authority of your word, we pray that the whole of our being will yield to that authority in Jesus' name. We pray that our circumstances will yield to the authority of the word in Jesus' name. Have your way, O Lord, and take your rightful place in our hearts right now. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some of us may not appreciate what our sister was talking about the other time. You may say, oh, is it not the birthday I normally have? I want to tell you that it is the grace of God that can sustain you when everything else appears to have failed. It's only the grace of God that can sustain you. And I am a beneficiary of that grace. You know, I think I was telling us last week how a young man that I work with, each time we do things, he will expect me to say, I'm tired, let's pack it up. But I would say, let's do more. He said, most people, as they get older, they are not able to do as much. How come? You're always wanting to do more. And all the glory belongs to God. For some of the things that God has committed to my hand, I don't know how they get done. I'm telling you, I don't know. When it looks like it's not going to be possible, somehow God will do it. He gives the strength. He gives the wherewithal. There will still be a time to celebrate Jesus in our lives. A time will come when all of you will join me in rejoicing, you know, for what God is doing. And the message that I want to share with us today, I believe this message is for me. I don't know about you, but for me, I believe that this message is for me. And my blessing is in this message. It's a message that I've shared with us somehow in a different form before. But God has ministered to me to a man of authority. That's what we are looking at this morning. A man under authority. Open your Bible with me to the book of Luke, chapter. We are going to read verse 1 to 10. A man under authority. He said, now, when he had ended his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. and a certain centurion's servant who was there unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he will come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loved our nation, and he had built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion said, "Trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, "I say unto you, I have found no so great faith. I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Praise the Lord. A man under authority. This man was not the one who was sick. The Bible says his servant was sick, but his servant was so dear to him. Apologies to those of us who did not understand the song that our sister was singing. But in one of the songs that she sang, she said, "I have a father that appreciate and value his children. He does not joke with me. He does not play." In other words, he does not take my matters with levity. He takes my matters with seriousness. That is God. This centurion was one kind of person who took the matters of his servant very, very seriously. That he sent people to Jesus because of this servant. Now, you have to know who a centurion was. A centurion was a ruler, somebody who was posted out by the Roman authority to oversee things. So he was not a Jew. He was there to command soldiers. You know? The Romans were ruling the Jews at the time. So what he was there to do was to keep the peace, make sure that the authority of the highest authority in Rome was being obeyed. But the Bible said, while he distinguished himself, he was involved. He didn't come and destroy them and say, "Look, why should you worship God?" He even said he built them a synagogue. He did. He encouraged them. And so when problem came for his servant, people came to intercede for him with Jesus. And when they told Jesus, Jesus made haste to go. So in other words, Jesus also has a place in his heart for people who want to see the work of God progress. Those who want to see to the welfare of the people of God, Jesus has a place in his heart for them. He made to follow them. No sooner had he followed them that some people came again, his friends, and said, "Teacher, don't bother. The centurion has asked us to come and tell you, don't bother to come to his house, because he says he does not think his house can receive you. You are such a great man." And he also said he does not think himself anything to come into your presence. What he has asked us to tell you is that you just speak the word. He believes you. He believes in you. He knows that once you speak the word, something will happen that will change the situation of his servant. Because he also gave us word. He said, "Look, I'm a commander myself. Just like I am being commanded from above, from Rome, I'm also a commander. And when I command one person to come, he comes. At my word, people come. When I tell someone else to go, at my word, they go." He said, just as I rule in the physical realm, so also I acknowledge you as a ruler in the spiritual realm. You don't have to come to my house. You just speak the word. It took this man of authority to understand the authority of Jesus. He was a non-Jew. That is why the Bible said Jesus marveled. For you to surprise Jesus with your faith, you must really have faith. Praise God. You must really have faith to surprise Jesus. Jesus was surprised by the level of faith. First, he was not a Jew, but he had the concept of authority. And he knows that the way authority flows within the human setup is the same way authority flows in heaven, from heaven downward. And I want to let you know that every one of us is under one authority or the other. There is nobody who is not under a kind of authority. Do you know that some people are under the authority of the flesh? How do you know? I will tell you. Some people are under the authority of money. Some people are under the authority of drugs. And I see a lot of that. You see somebody who is smoking. You advise them. You say, "Look, it will be good. You know, it's something you can do." He said, "No, I cannot give it up. It's not possible. No. You see, I can't. How can I? I've tried. I've been smoking for 30 years. You know what? The day they go to the doctor, and the doctor said, "I did x-ray and I saw a shadow in your chest," they will never smoke again. Why? Because they see a bigger authority. Before, they were under the authority of cigarettes and they thought they could not give it up. Why? How come they're able to give it up? Some people are under the authority, like I said, of their own flesh, their own emotions. Once I get angry, you see, I can't stop myself. I tell them, I say, it's a lie. You can stop yourself. They say, no. Ah, you see, because I see a lot of that. They say, no, when I'm angry, I say, you are lying. You can stop yourself. I say, how do I know? I will ask them, do you have a job? They say, I have a job. I say, that's good. How long have you been doing your job for? Some people say, I've been working, doing the same job for 5 years. Some say 10 years. I say, good. I said, you beat your wife. How many times have you slapped your boss since you've been doing this work for 5 years? They say, no, I've never. Ah, no. I said, okay. Has anyone said something at work that you didn't like? He said, yes, it happens. I said, okay, how come the same principle that applies at work cannot apply at home? You can keep it at work, but not at home. It is what you allow to rule over you that will rule over you. Some people are under the authority of people. And if you want to test, have you ever been in conversation with people? Who will say, you're having conversation with them. And you say, you see, that box is red. You say, yes, yes. You see, I see it's red. And someone else in the place will say, that box is purple. You say, you see, actually, I've been thinking about it. I actually think it's purple. Someone will say, actually, I think it's blue. Maybe it's from the angle you are looking at it. If you really look at it very well, it's blue. You say, no wonder it's very confusing to me. I thought it's blue also. They will never take a stand that they meet. And I'm sure you've seen people like that. They cannot form opinions based on what they know. Because the authority that rules them determines the position they take. Fame is the authority that rules some people. How do you know what authority rules or who has authority over your life? The Bible makes us to understand that you will know the one that has authority over your life by the one you obey, that you succumb to, do what it asks you to do. If you look at Romans chapter 6, verse 16 and 17, tells us who has authority over us. But everyone is under one form of authority or the other. Romans 6, 16 and 17. He says, know ye not, I'll read this one. Do you not know that if you continually surrender yourselves to anyone to do his will, you are the slaves of him whom you obey, whether that be to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness, right doing and right standing with God? But thank God, though you are once slaves of sin, you have become obedient with all your heart to the standard of teaching in which you are instructed, to which you are committed. In other words, it is possible for you to change the authority over your life. Before, there's a man who used to rule over my life. He no longer rule over my life anymore. This man rules through many avenues. It could be fear. Our sister was telling us earlier on
that the way the man tried to exercise his authority fear into her mind and said, you are going to die. But you know that there is a man that has authority over your life who has also spoken concerning your life. He says, you shall live, you will not die. You will declare the counsel of God in the land of the living. But it is whom you yield yourself to obey. It is whose counsel you turn to that has the final authority in your life.
God has the final authority if we will yield to Him. I want us to open to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Peter was talking about this to us. If we want God to rule over our lives, if we want what God says concerning us to come to pass, we have to yield to Him. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. He said, live as children of obedience to God. Do not conform yourselves to the evil desire that governed you. Can you hear now? That desire can govern people, can rule people. That govern you in your former ignorance when you did not know the requirements of the gospel. He said, but as the one who called you is holy, you yourself also be holy in all your conduct and manner of living. In other words, there was a transfer of master. You change who your master was, and you have moved from the place where the flesh, the desires, govern you to a place where Jesus, through the word of the gospel, governs your life. The other thing that determines, that helps you to know who has authority over your life, is the source of your own authority. The source of your own authority. What do I mean by this? The source of your own authority is determined by your fear, or determines your fear and your faith. For example, the source of your authority may be science. So when you go to see the doctor and they tell you that there's something wrong here, if that is the final authority in your life, what's going to happen? Fear will hit you. But when you go to see the doctor and they say, this is what you have, you say, okay, that's what I have. But there's somebody who can change it. That's what I mean by, what's the source of your authority? Whose information do you rely on as infallible? That once it's spoken, you believe it. You don't doubt it. You know that whatever they say is true. That's the source of authority in your life. For some of us, the weatherman is the final authority. If you say, don't go, we will not go that day. Budget is the final authority in some of our lives, because some people are predicting. They say, China will stop buying resources, therefore things are, and some of us are already panicking because of what's going to happen in 5-10 years time, what we think will happen in 5-10 years time. How many people thought global economy was going to collapse?
even up until that year, the companies, the groups that rate banks and rate companies still rated some of those companies that collapsed as being wonderful. That same year, they gave them, is it credit, AAA ratings, that they were doing very well. So nobody even knew. 4 weeks ago, how many of us knew that there was going to be a tsunami in Japan? Last year, how many of us knew that there was going to be flood in Queensland? And all of these factors have come together and they've changed the local economy. And they've changed world economy. Some tradesmen that have been jobless for so long, they've moved to Queensland and they can't keep up with the amount of work that they have to do just because unpredictable event happens. So who has authority over your life depends on the source of your own authority, that when they speak, you shake. If we will shake as much when God speaks, things will be different. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5, the Bible says, he said, who are being garrisoned, that is guided by God, by God's power, through your faith, till you fully inherit that final salvation that is ready for you in the last time. In other words, he said, God is surrounding you. God is in attendance to you. God is taking care of you. You are being guarded. You are being garrisoned. You are being looked after by God up until that day that God will come. So who, what is the source of your authority? The one that has authority over you would definitely look after your welfare. I say he will look after your welfare in Jesus' name. He will look after the welfare of your children in Jesus' name. You know, parents, we often worry. We think, oh, how is this child going to turn out to be? Oh, what about this child? How will we do this? How will we do, you know? And I'm telling you, God is more than able. I've never really shared this testimony except within my house. I think I'll just share it with you. When I had my first daughter go to school, I used to pay every time. I'll be running around to pay her school fees. You know, I'll go look for money to pay her school fees. When the second one was about to go to school, I was scared. If from time to time I run around to pay the school fees of one, what's going to happen when there are two of them? And I thought it would be unfair not to give them equal opportunity with faith. I allowed them to go to the same school. And after I took that step of faith, do you know what happened? Something different happened. While I used to pay from time to time before, somehow God has been doing it, even though it will look like it's not going to be possible. God has been doing it that since then, I've had to pay their school fees at once. I've never had to pay from time to time anymore. Because I just took that step of faith. When it was one, I was struggling. When it was two, I'm paying. Who is the final authority
in your life? Who is speaking into your life and you are believing it? Do you believe God above man? That same source of authority is also the source of your safety. In Psalm 105, verse 13 to 15, hear what the Bible says concerning the children of Israel and concerning you. He said, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophet no harm. You are the one that God has called his own because you have identified with Jesus. Why should we be afraid? Somebody said, the reason he said, touch not my anointed, I just heard that from someone not long ago. He said, the reason he said, touch not my anointed, he said, is because the anointing breaks the yoke. Praise the Lord. The anointing does what? Breaks the yoke. So everything that will constitute itself as a yoke upon your neck shall be broken in Jesus' name. So that is why if a king decides to touch you, it becomes a yoke. An anointing will break him. If you work in an office and somebody decides that they don't like your face and you become the target and you are living right, what does anointing do? It breaks the yoke. Every yoke upon your life shall be broken in Jesus' name. That is why our joy must not be in what God is doing in our lives or what he can do through us, but our joy should be in who God is to us. He's the final authority. So our joy must not be tied to our church, the personality of the pastor. Our church must be tied to the great God that we serve, because he has the final authority. You know who the final authority is. You want to pray some people for some people. Somehow in their mind, I've shared a story with us before, they believe that they are not going to be healed until they see a particular person. You will know who has the final authority. They believe that they won't be healed until that day they meet that particular person. And of course, because they live in unbelief, even when they meet that person, they will not even be healed. But when you know that when you meet with Jesus, all things are possible. What the centurion said, he said, speak the word. And we are hearing the word of God this morning. And that word is still as effective as it used to be. Praise the Lord. Let's stop fitting God into our agenda. Instead, let's fit ourselves into the agenda of God. Another way, let's not wait that the word of God will change to fit in with our own lifestyle. But let's change our lives to fit in to the reality of who God is in our life, and we will experience true stability. The final authority in your life determines who you project. It determines who you project. In other words, who you tell the world, what you talk about, who you hold out to people. If it's yourself, you will project yourself. If it's Jesus, you project Jesus. Acts 20:24. We are not going to read. But what I want to tell us is that we should start projecting God in whatever situation where we find ourselves. He said, even as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so was the Son of Man lifted up. And what happened in the wilderness? Everyone that looked at that serpent was saved. Everyone that will look at Jesus will be saved. The principle has not changed. If you project him up there, every time you look at him, solution will come into your situation in Jesus' name. You will know that politicians project the people. That's why they say the people of my electorate don't like this. The people in my electorate don't like that. They project their people. As children of God, who do we project? Who do we say is backing us up? When people say something, who do we say has the final say? Somebody said, he said, you will know who a particular generation projects when you get to the city. He said, you will know. He said, how do you know? He said, in those days, when you get to cities, the most beautiful buildings. Somebody get what I'm saying now? In most cities, when you go to those cities, what used to be the most beautiful buildings? The cathedrals, built with stones, built with, you will see those works of ornaments on them. How beautiful they used to be. What are the most beautiful things we see these days? The shopping centers where we go to worship. Praise God. Our houses. He said the houses of those people used to be poorer than the church, because they would rather project God. But these days, we'll project ourselves. There will be plenty in our homes. There will be little in the church. Who do you project? Who has the final authority in your life? A man who is under authority will follow guidelines. He's not just simply obeying. There's a difference between obeying. For example, I can say to you, I want you to go to Fremantle. But as you go to Fremantle, I want you to drive down to Stock Road, turn left on Leech Highway, and just observe the scenery along the way and go to Fremantle. A man of who is under authority will do just that. A man not under authority, they say, go to Fremantle, go through Stock Road, turn left, observe the scenery, and get there. The man who is not under authority will say, maybe he doesn't know what he's saying. Is it not to get to Fremantle? Okay, I'll get to Fremantle. South Street leads to Fremantle. I'll just drive to, I'll get to Stock Road, yes. But from that point, I've calculated it. And I know that the distance is shorter to where he's asking me to go. So therefore, I'm going to turn left instead of turning right on Stock Road. So I'm going to South Street. From South Street, then I'm going to drive down to Fremantle. Is it not to arrive at Fremantle? The man who is under authority will follow the guidelines. I'm going to close now. There's a pathetic story that I want us to read in 1 Kings chapter 13. Oh, let's not read it. I'll just paraphrase it. It's the story of the young prophet that was sent to King Jeroboam. You remember he went and said, this altar is going to crack open and this is going to happen. And even as he spoke, what happened? God backed him up. It all happened like that. When the king reached out to touch it, what happened? His hand went leprous. The son of the prophet of that city saw what happened, heard what took place, ran to his father and told his father. He said, look, a prophet came today. This is what he did. And the father said, call me that prophet. Immediately the father came and spoke to the young prophet. He's an older prophet. He spoke to the young prophet and said, look, come in, come and eat with me. Remember that the king has asked this guy to eat with him, and he said no. But the older prophet now came and said, come eat with me, come dine with me. Even though God had instructed this young man, he said, once you finish the assignment, just go back home. Don't go through the same way that I've sent you. Take another route and come back home. Do not eat there. Do not drink there. This older prophet told him, he said, I've just heard from God. And he said, you can come and eat. You can. And what happened? This prophet went with him. He went home. He ate. He drank. And as he left on his way home, what happened to him? Lions came, smote him. You see, what is happening is this. Many of us are waiting for dramatic scenes like that before we can believe. There are different ways lions are striking people these days. What about the upheaval in our homes? What about the impact on our children? What about the devourer in the lives of the people of God who should not experience it? Some people are waiting for physical lion to come and start tearing somebody apart. It doesn't work that way. But there are different ways that the enemy is oppressing people because we have not obeyed fully. We have not followed the guidelines. We will follow the guidelines in Jesus' name. And of course, remember that the one whose authority you are under is the one who is going to declare you successful or not successful, because he is the final authority and he decides what is acceptable to him. And I want to encourage you this morning that irrespective of what life circumstance may look to you, God has spoken the word this morning into your life. Yours is to be like the centurion and say, because God has said it, irrespective of what I am seeing now, I have victory. I'm talking about me. I know I have victory. I know that I have victory. I've told us before, sometimes the first person we need to have victory over is ourselves. I have victory over myself in Jesus' name. I have victory over circumstances in Jesus' name. Because there is somebody that sets one free, and you become free indeed. His name is Jesus. I want you to rise up this morning or this afternoon as we quickly, because this is the last Sunday of this month. We are going to partake of the Holy Communion. Please, if you are not right with God, make sure you are right with Him before you partake of the Holy Communion. We have prayed for this Holy Communion or on this Holy Communion. It is sent out to do miracles in lives. Yours is to believe. Yours is to believe that God has the final authority in your situation. Please, when you take the bread, you can eat it, but keep the wine. Let's be quick so we can close. When you take the bread, please eat it. and just keep the wine so we can drink together. There's someone that has this final authority. His name is Jesus. You are partaking of his flesh and of his blood. Jesus cannot be in you, and sickness will find a place in your life. Jesus will not be in you, and misfortune will find a place in your life. Jesus will not be in you, and failure will follow you. Jesus will not be in you, and death will lock around the corner for you. Jesus will not be in you, and your heart will not last the whole journey. Jesus will not be in you, and you'll be depressed. No, because you are partaking of his body and of his blood. And so he's going to touch you this morning. He said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me.' In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Let's drink in unison now. And I want you to pray to God. You have just heard about a man under authority. You are under the authority of the power of God. The devil has no business in your affairs. I want you to speak to the Lord and say, "Father, because I'm eating and dining and whining with you this afternoon, I belong to you. You have the final say upon my life. You have the final authority. Therefore, every other authority, they are banished from my life today in Jesus' name. Is it sickness? Is it sorrow? Is it failure? Is it confusion? Every other authority. You see what people say? Lord, every other authority over my life, I break you. Only Jesus is allowed to rule. Only Jesus is allowed to reign. Only Jesus is allowed to rule. Only Jesus is allowed to reign. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Oh yes, it does not matter. It does not matter what the enemy is doing. I have succeeded already. It is already written in the history books that I have made it. It's already written in the history book that I have succeeded. In the mighty name of Jesus." Oh yes. Oh yes, begin to pray to the Lord, because you are under authority. The authority of the living God. You cannot be under two masters. Where Jesus reigns, the enemy cannot rule there. Where Jesus is Lord, the devil cannot be the Lord there. Where Jesus reigns, sickness cannot reign there. In the mighty name of Jesus, I want you to speak concerning that business. Oh, because Jesus reigns there, he cannot fail. Concerning that application, because Jesus has gone before you, you are not going to fail. Concerning that request you are making, concerning that journey, concerning that provision, because Jesus reigns. Oh yes, you are a man under authority, and Jesus has the final authority over your life. Not the budget, not the world, not the weather, not even what the doctor has said. Jesus has the final authority. He can change it. He is a destiny changer. He is a destiny changer. He is a situation changer. He is a situation arrester. He can do all things. He can do all things. He can do all things. Call upon him tonight, this afternoon. Call upon him. He will give you victory. He will give you victory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we have heard your word. We believe. I say we believe. We have heard the word that you have spoken. We believe. We are going to see victory. we are going to see healings. We are going to see blessings. We are going to see prosperity. We are going to see open doors. We are going to see promotions. We are going to see impossibilities made possible in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.